All right, everybody, welcome back to Out of Our League. College basketball is back, and the entire season is about Mike Krzyzewski's going away tour. He started it off by getting a win against Kentucky, and he's going to make it all about himself this year for sure.
Selfish bastard.
Purdue is a dream killer. That's two top three wins for them this year. And then we'll also talk if the NFL is rigged because the ref is trying to screw the Chicago Bears out of winning the game. All right, let's get after it.
All right, so this week's quote comes. It's a New York-based quote because you just came from New York City last weekend. I'm going to go to New York City this weekend. So one of the best New York City movies of all time. And not a lot of people will talk about the other guys, starring Mark Wahlberg and Will Ferrell. This is a famous one. Christina, you idiot. You come to our house and you get my wife's name right.
All right, everybody, welcome back to Out of Our League with Ben and Benny, presented by Backseat Coach. And college basketball is back. But I got a question for you, Benny. Is it even worth trying to predict who's going to win the college basketball season?
Short answer, no. But other answer, we probably should because it's fun. But it's not worth it. College basketball is such a crapshoot. I feel like especially the way the tournament's designed, it's usually one of like the top, I don't know, I would say like eight teams. Usually one of them are probably going to win it all. There's going to be a few upsets in there, but I don't think it's worth it, but I think we should both try right now.
All right. So since we're trying, I'm going to go with Michigan. I don't know what they're ranked. I haven't watched them play, but I know they were pretty good last year. So I'm going to go Michigan.
For a very similar reason, I'm going to go UCLA because, again, not sure where they're ranked. But, again, last year, saw them very impressed in the tournament, especially with the Final Four. So I'm also going to go UCLA. I think they have the old – I think it was Cincinnati coach who was just a nut. Like the I think, what's his name? Mick Cronin? He was kind of a
– Oh, kind of, I think so, yeah.
The ball guy, he's insane, and I just love that he's out on the West Coast now because I feel like Cincinnati's where he belonged, like a nice, gritty coach. But the fact that he's out there now and that – I think they're – I looked it up earlier. They might be ranked third or they're up
second.
There. In, oh.
They're second, and Michigan is sixth currently.
Oh, so I really went chalk there. All right, I'm gonna stick with UCLA then because I must have known that they were second.
Yeah, and I don't know why, but is there some reason that people are ranking Texas very highly? Because they're ranked fifth currently.
I do not know personally. I feel like Texas is one of those college basketball teams that they just haven't been as prevalent since Kevin Durant, like PJ Tucker and that team was in like, what was that, 2007? But I just feel like they're always – it's kind of like similar with the football team a little bit. They're always – in the mix to start the year, and then I feel like they start trailing off, especially in the tournament. I feel like they're always primed for a nice upset in the round of 32.
Yeah, or just not even making it into the tournament and just really pooping the bed.
Yeah, it's one of the other. They don't make it at all, or they lose really early.
Exactly. But what I would like to say, although our college basketball predictions probably won't hit because it's so hard to predict that tournament, our NBA picks right now – top of the Eastern Conference, Miami Heat, and top of the Western Conference, Golden State Warriors. So I don't know, ESPN, CBS, somebody, NBA on TNT, somebody should give me and Benny a contract to be able to predict NBA games.
We could do Kendrick Perkins and Jay Williams jobs, no question.
Oh, for sure. We wouldn't be as funny as like Shaq, Kenny, and Chuck, for sure. But I think we could maybe make some more accurate takes than them.
You know, I think jury's out on that. I don't know if we should sell ourselves that short. I feel like we're pretty funny guys, but there's actually no entertainment like NBA TNT. I just watch YouTube clips of those guys just going back and forth, ripping on each other, and it's hilarious. But I know I'm actually very impressed with both of us here. I think the best thing you can do with the NBA is always to make quick assumptions in November, but we're looking pretty good right now. So Warriors Heat finals, get ready for June.
You heard it here first. You heard it here first.
Yeah, but the scary thing about the Warriors is they don't even have Klay Thompson back yet. And I saw videos of him warming up. I don't know if you saw those, like warming up in full uniform. doing practice shots before, just like literally dressed like he's ready to play. But I think that's the scariest part of this whole element, is that they're looking this good without one of the top three guys from their championship runs.
Oh yeah, Steph is just playing ridiculous, and so I also like my take that he might win MVP. But yeah, it could be even scarier when it will be even scarier when Clay gets back, because he returns to even close to what he was before. That roster is going to be really scary. Oh, yeah. Very, very scary.
Also, why do I like Jimmy Butler so much?
I feel like he's a tough guy to root against. Like, I should hate him for what he did to the Timberwolves, but it's just hard to root. Like, he works so hard, and he's such a good basketball player, and he always stands up for his guys, besides when he was on the Timberwolves. But I agree with you. I love Jimmy Butler, too. He is a great player to watch.
Yeah, I think the Timberwolves thing's a whole different interesting case. So you just look at, like, the guys that he was also beefing with, which is, like, maybe Jimmy Butler wasn't wrong, but I think he's like the epitome of heat culture and everything that Miami Heat stand for too. So I don't know, something about that match, it just seems like it's made in heaven. And I feel like last year was a kind of a weird year for them, coming off the finals too, where they, like, it was such a quick turnaround. I feel like they kind of had like a little bit of letdown here. So kind of like where they're off this year. Although the Celtics did beat them the other night, so I mean, that's the little hope that we have, because the Celtics look awful.
Yeah, what are they, like 5-6 right now?
They're definitely not. They're definitely below 500. So we can move on. We don't have to keep talking about them.
Tell me this though: would you actually want Ben Simmons for Jaylen Brown? Because I know there's been rumors about that. And personally, if I was a Celtics fan, I would not take that trip.
Not at all. Not even a little bit. Jaylen Brown's like one of the few NBA players that actually enjoys also playing in the city of Boston. There's something about, like, there's a weird stink with NBA players in Boston, where I don't know what the actual hangup is, but Jaylen Brown actually loves the city, and that would be a tough loss. And Ben Simmons, I couldn't be more out on either. So I'm right there with you.
All right. Perfect. Celtics, hopefully second place after our predictions, but Purdue. Okay. So tell me this though, switching to football, is Purdue just that good against top three teams, or does the Big Ten just beat up on each other kind of like the NFC West does?
Can I say both?
Mm-hmm. Okay. Okay.
But I think it's a little bit of both, but I love that Purdue just spoils. It for everybody else. They just kind of come in and just ruin anyone that thinks everything's going great. Purdue just comes in and just hits them right over the head. And just anytime Purdue just knocks everybody down a notch. Just like anytime you're feeling too good about themselves, they just bring them right down.
Yeah, Iowa plays a heck of a game against Penn State and then throws a stinker up against Purdue. Michigan State, again, plays a heck of a game against Michigan, and then Purdue kind of wipes the floor with them. So maybe Purdue is just capitalizing on the fact that they think that these teams think that they're going to be an easy game after playing a ranked opponent, and then they just are just absolutely destroying them. But I think Purdue should be like number 10 in the country right now. They have two high quality wins, right? I mean, if you're arguing for a team.
Yeah, let's put them over Cincinnati. Even though they have three losses, let's put them right over the top of Cincinnati. And then I'm right there with you. I think it is funny that Purdue's in that classic letdown spot where, like, you just laid out with like Iowa and Michigan State. They're just that next game where both those teams are probably like, wow, we just had a big quality win. We will handle Purdue easily. And they just come in and smack them. So I think Purdue just crashes the party.
Go Boilermakers, baby. I love it.
Go Boilermakers.
I love when teams get their hopes down or hopes get let down after immediately having a big win. It's like, you should have prepared for Purdue, just like you prepared for Michigan, like you prepared for Penn State.
Yeah. And I think a few years ago, I don't know if it was a year that Ohio State actually actually won the national championship, but it was one of those years that Ohio State went decently far in the playoff. And I believe their only loss was to Purdue, and there's a pretty sizable loss too. So Purdue's always game for a nice upset. Like they always play up to their competition. They're just ready for a big game on Saturday night.
It's kind of like that meme where you got Dwight. He's like looking at the game, and then Angela comes up behind him and he goes, "Oh, Purdue is always behind you, always waiting to take that take the win against you. So that's a terrible description of the meme.
No, any true Office fan knows exactly what you're talking about, and I that's a phenomenal reference. So I appreciate that.
I'll get our social team working on making that meme so we can post it so everybody can.
Yeah, we got to help my guy out because that's a great reference and it needs to be justified.
Exactly. All right. Titans versus Rams. So we were all counting out, and by we, I mean us two, were counting out the Titans without Derrick Henry. But they got it done against the Rams and in kind of a dominating fashion.
Yeah, the Titans are such an interesting team because you think of them as the team that lost to the Jets and and just right off the bat, you're like, they're not going to win the Super Bowl. But now they've had some pretty good quality wins. They beat they're easily going to dominate their division, which isn't not much to be said. But this is a very, very impressive win, at the Rams. So I think there's certainly a team that has to be, especially with the Bills losing to the Jaguars, it's certainly a team that has to be taken seriously in the AFC. In a year where, like, the Chiefs don't look great at all, you never know what's going to happen with any of the AFC North teams. So this is, the Titans with a big win over the Rams. I mean, it's definitely a huge statement win. And, you kind of see them, like, losing to the Jets. And that instantly in your head, you're just like, oh, the Titans are no good. They're not going to come out of the AFC. But then you kind of look across the AFC, especially with how they've been going since. They dominate the AFC South. I mean, the Colts, Jaguars, Texans aren't much competition for them. The Chiefs aren't what we thought they were going to be. The Bills with a loss to the Jaguars. So it might be kind of an outlier when we look back on it in January. But and then the AFC North, who knows how that division is going to shape out. So I feel like we do have to take the Titans a little bit seriously now.
Yeah, I mean, I think this is a year where you could see any one of like five or six teams win the AFC. Like, there's no clear-cut favorite. Obviously, the Ravens have been playing well. The Titans have been playing well. The Bengals, but we'll talk about them later. But any number of teams in the AFC can win it. There's no clear-cut favorite, which is when the NFL is at its best, right? Is when – just like when you're so giddy and excited for the playoffs because – like, everybody's knocking each other off. There's no team with one loss in the AFC anymore, I don't think. And so this just makes me so excited for the playoffs and especially the AFC playoffs.
Oh, 100%. And are you getting a little bit excited? I don't want to jump ahead here. I apologize if I am. But are you getting a little excited for Thanksgiving games? Because I haven't really thought about Thanksgiving until recently. And I'm like, now I just can't wait to watch football all day Thursday.
There is no better holiday tradition than eating way too much food, maybe three or four slices of pie after you've already eaten way too much food, laying down on the couch and just drifting off to, I guess this year it'll be Jared Goff throwing an interception, right? There's a couple of certainties in this world, and the Lions not playing well on Thanksgiving Day is one of them. And I don't know why. I don't know who decided long ago to give Detroit a Thanksgiving game, but thank the stars because I could fall asleep during that game.
Yeah, probably when Barry Sanders was just running over the place, they're like, "Oh, this would be fun to watch on Thanksgiving Thursday." But I'm right there with you. There's no better feeling than unbuckling your pants and just zoning out to some Lions Bears action or anything of the sort. But we'll see. I feel like we have a GOAT rankings coming up of Thanksgiving food that we might have to talk about next week.
Oh, yeah. Well, all right. I'm going to write that down. I love it.
Beautiful.
All right. Do you think that the Bengals are for real, though? So we're talking AFC. Bengals have two losses in a row coming to the Jets and then kind of a bad one to the Browns. Was the early season a fluke, or do you think the Bengals can hold on?
So now I don't know what to make of the AFC North. I kind of alluded to it earlier, but I don't know if the Browns are good now that Odell's not in town. I don't know if the Steelers have kind of found their groove a little bit. I don't know if the Ravens are just kind of the dominant team we're not really thinking about. And I don't know if we kind of put too much into the Bengals. I know this is a very wishy-washy answer, but really with this loss, I feel like I'm actually more confused than I was going in. Like, if the Bengals won, beat the Browns, I would have thought the Browns stink and that the Bengals are still kind of one of the more dominant teams. But now I really don't know. I feel like that whole division is still kind of a toss-up with probably the Ravens being the best team.
Yeah, no, I think the Ravens right now look like the best team. And I think what's going to happen with the Bengals is they're going to go one of two ways. Was it Robert Frost who said fork in the road? Is that what it was?
Road less traveled.
There you go. So they can go old Bengals, where they're going to now go on an 8-game losing streak and miss the playoffs. Right.
Frequently traveled road.
Exactly. Or they could start to be like, you know what? We lost 2 games. Doesn't matter. Let's win a couple of the next one and make the playoffs. Right. So they got a fork in the road coming up, and I sense it. I sense this tension with the Bengals. But they're going to have to choose one, and let's hope for their sake that it's not the frequently traveled one.
Yeah, absolutely. I was really hoping they'd be back. I kind of was like thinking of like the Carson Palmer teams, like the teams are actually really good. Like even those early Andy Dalton teams that kind of made the playoffs consistently. But I just don't know what to make of the AFC. And then I don't want to talk about the Patriots. We'll talk about them. Well, I do want to talk about the Patriots, but I don't want to take up time about it. But and now they're kind of having a resurgence with a couple nice game winning streak too. So. Like you said earlier, the AFC is kind of a crapshoot, but I don't know what to make of the Bengals right now. Part of me wants to think that we kind of had a nice little honeymoon with them, but I don't know if they're actually for real.
Yeah, maybe just giving Cincinnati fans just a little something to hold on to until next year when they go on an 8-game losing streak. But I guess only time will tell. But small NFC talk before we transition into next week's games.
Mm-hmm.
The Packers fans and the NFL as a whole should not take Aaron Rodgers for granted. So the Packers, I hate to say it, but we kind of called it. Jordan Love went in and put up an absolute stinker, right? Which seven points happens once in a blue moon with Aaron Rodgers, right?
Yep.
So Packers fans have to be just praying to God that he does not leave next year, because he is – one of the only reasons that they have a good team, right? He carries their team consistently. And as an NFL fan, it kind of like not seeing Rodgers playing for the Packers kind of got me thinking about how we're like, you know, some of these guys we don't have forever, right? We're not going to have Tom Brady forever. Roethlisberger's on his last leg. We just, he's an MVP candidate at 44. So what am I to say?
Shout out my buddy Ryan Donovan for posting on Instagram and tagging us in that, which had Tom Brady MVP candidate. And he put in too much Tom Brady talk already, but I just wanted to give a shout out that that's actually in contention at age 40, 44.
It's absurd. But this era of this dominating quarterbacks is soon coming to a close. So as an NFL fan, although I've hated Aaron Rodgers because he plays for the Packers for the last 12 years, you have to kind of appreciate these great quarterbacks. And it's going to start transitioning into Lamar, Mahomes, and Josh Allen, you know, like that. But we still have a little bit of our childhood left with Rodgers and Brady still left.
100%. I completely agree with you. I think there's a lot of it where it's like a lot of his offseason stuff going on, and then even the more recent stuff with COVID and everything has kind of soured people a little bit on Aaron Rodgers, but we talk about Mahomes never being out of games. There's something about Aaron Rodgers and Brady, and obviously Brady, people know about that one, but Aaron Rodgers is never out of a football game. And he's such an unbelievable talent that it really does. It's one of those things where you don't realize what you have till it's gone. And it's like watching Jordan Love this weekend. You were like, wow, if I'm a Packers fan, like you said at the top, I am thinking, how in the world can we convince this guy to stay here? What do we have to invest in? How much money do we have to give him? What weapons can we possibly, you know, sign free agency for him? Like it is a noticeable drop off when you go from Rodgers to Love, and way more than Favre to Rodgers back in the day too. It's not like when Favre left, you're like, oh, well, we got Rodgers. It's kind of someone, it's somewhat like a Luck Manning thing too. It's like, well, we're pretty confident in this guy. It is when you saw Love in the game, you were very much dismayed about your chances of winning. And the Chiefs didn't even play good either, which was kind of the thing about it. And, you know, and if Rodgers in that game, that's an easy Packers win.
Yeah, I've never seen the Packers run the ball so much. They looked like an old-time offense. Like before, probably the last time they did that was before Rodgers and Favre, right? Like I've never seen anybody in a Packers uniform run the ball so much. It was absurd.
Yeah, Vince Lombardi was on the sideline when they were running the ball that much for sure.
Apparently.
Yeah.
All right, let's preview some games and then we'll get into some segments. So the first one I got is Browns at Pats. Pats are -1.5. So they're on a 2-game winning streak right now. They got Mac Jones twisting ankles. They look pretty good. They look pretty good.
I don't appreciate what you said at the end there, but I'm going to go shocking here. I'm going to go with the Patriots on this one. The only thing that makes me a little nervous, I do feel like the Browns might kind of find their groove without kind of a nagging Odell Beckham Jr. in the back of their mind. So I think the Browns are probably better than they were a few weeks ago, but I like the Pats. I think their defense looks like a bunch of studs right now, which is awesome. I still love Judon. I've been saying that every week. And I think Max really, he's never really been the problem with his team throughout the whole year either. I feel like he's really finding his groove too. So I'm going to go Patriots.
I am also going to go Patriots 1.5 because I think their run defense is so good. Like, just, they almost never let teams run the ball on them. Like, typically, you know, if you're getting by a Patriots offense or a Patriots defense, rather, you're kind of airing it out a little bit, making some big plays. But they are super good at stopping the run. Cleveland relies on the run a lot. So I'm going to go Pats -1.5.
I love it. I knew I liked you. I knew you're still going to be my friend after this one. So no, I'm completely with you on everything you said there. I also, Bills, if you're a Bills fan, watch your back. That's all I got to say. Watch yourself.
That's what coming, baby. Pats are coming.
It's been a long time coming.
You had your 1 year. Pats are back.
All right. Long-suffering Patriots fans.
Saints at Titans. Titans are -3. I'll start. I'm going to take the Saints +3. I feel like everybody's going to kind of overreact to the Saints losing to the Falcons and the Titans beating up on the Rams. So I think this is going to be a little Saints comeback, a little Titans regression to the mean. I'm taking Saints +3.
I like that. It makes complete sense. All your points are valid. I'm going to start thinking this is starting to get to the time of year where we're going to figure out, where I think teams are really going to separate. They're going to go one way or the other. I could be completely wrong. You might be 100% right, but I think the Titans are legit. I think this is a game. They both have key significant injuries on both sides of the ball with Winston and then Henry, but I do think this is a game the Titans should and will win. So I'm going to go Titans on this one. I feel like the Saints might, I feel like the Saints, especially depending on who they start at quarterback, I really do think like the Saints might start going to a little downhill spiral here.
Yeah, they could. I think they signed Marcus Mariota, so maybe they'll throw him in there, but who knows?
Could be a revenge game then, if we think about that.
Oh, I'm doubling down on the Saints then. He did. He did play for the Titans for a little bit. Then he got traded to the Raiders. All right, Seahawks at Packers. Packers are -3.5. I'm going to take the Packers. I think Russ might be back, but I'm still going to take the Packers. I think that Aaron Rodgers is going to kind of give us a little bit of a show after Jordan Love put up a stinker just to show us why we should love it.
Yeah, that was going to be my question. I was going to ask you if Russ was back. And honestly, I guess with that detail, regardless, it still doesn't matter. I'm right with you. I'm going to do the Packers too. Yeah, I think this is a Aaron Rodgers kind of a statement game too. I don't think the Seahawks are very good either. So I think they're going to kind of is at Packers as well. So I think this is going to be a really solid Packers win, at least a touchdown. So,
all right, we got it now, Benny, take us away.
I'll take you right there. So we're going to take a quick pit stop at the medical corner. Mr. MDM. What will be your future?
MD.
MD? All right. MD Schultz. Why don't you give us a little detail in our medical corner here?
Also, side note, I find it really funny, like when somebody says MD, if you're a medical person, you always think doctor. And then if you're a finance person, you always think managing director. It really throws people off. So there's a little tidbit for you.
That is a good tidbit. Also, just maybe this is more of a speaking from experience. If you have more than a few letters at the end of your name for certain degrees or whatnot, I would just cut them. I think it's annoying. You know, MD, deservedly so. Let's keep that. JD, perfectly fine. But if you start going crazy with CPA, MD, JD, MBA, get rid of them. We don't need them.
There are some people who have like 5 or 6 titles. I was under the impression that you put your latest one on there, right? So like if I had a master's, I would put master's. And then if I ended up getting a PhD after, then I would replace the master's with PhD. I don't know. Maybe that's like an academia thing that I'm just not put into, but I'm with you there.
See, that makes sense to me. I think it's because you're a humble, honest guy, and I think that's why you do it. But I think if you're a little more self-conceited, I think you throw a lot more letters at the end. But I digress. Give us your medical corner.
All right. This is a little more general medical corner. But there was a study published that said that since turf fields, modern turf fields, not AstroTurf, but modern turf fields have been installed, there's been approximately a 58% increase in injuries on the turf, the non-contact turf injuries. Go ahead. Go ahead. I see you putting the mic up. Go ahead.
I've actually kind of thought about this. I don't know which way I'm kind of going here. You continue. I was going to say it kind of makes sense to me because I feel like a lot of like particularly like ACLs or any sort of like turned knees. I'm thinking about when your foot gets stuck and your whole body turns, but your knee stays in the same position or anything like that. But I don't know how much that – I feel like that would actually happen more in grass. So I'm kind of curious why this is the case.
So thank you. That was actually a perfect segue into me continuing my segment. So the reason for it is – so the theory behind turf is you're able to be faster. You're able to cut well because it doesn't have any give, right? Like, so you're able to make these crazy moves on turf. But what happens is when you put turf in instead of grass, right? Like we've all went outside and played backyard football, backyard baseball on grass. And like, you know, you try to make a cut and you slip and fall and you laugh about it. But if you try to make a cut on turf, the thing that's giving out is never going to be the turf. It's going to be the ligaments in your knee, right? So since they made the turf so good for making those crazy cuts, it's also bad because it doesn't have the same give as grass, right? Like if you cut too hard on grass, you slip. If you cut too hard on turf, the turf's not giving out. It's going to be your knee or your ankle. So I think that's why you see such a big increase in the number of injuries.
Yeah, that's one of those innovations that feels like, oh, this is going to really make everything better. And it's going to speed up. They're not going to have to slip or slide everywhere. And then instantly just injuries kind of ensue. So I guess that makes sense intuitively, but it is kind of crazy that something that was probably designed to make the game better ended up backfiring with 58%. What was it? 58% more injuries or something?
Yeah.
Something like that.
Yeah. That is a lot. That is a huge increase.
Unbelievable. All right. Awesome. Thank you for the medical corner. I always appreciate it. I'm learning so much, whether it's about, whether it's about ankles with Carson Wentz's sprained ankles, or really anytime we talk about like teared or sprained hamstrings, or you're full of the wisdom.
That's what I'm here for. That's what I'm here for.
That's it. Again, this is the only reason you're going to medical school is for this one segment we do biweekly. I appreciate you. All right, let's hop over to some oofdas. So I'm going to kick it right back to you. You get no break here. Give me a mistake from the week.
All right. So I think everybody saw in the Bears versus Steelers game, the clip of number 59 on the Bears running behind the ref, and the ref kind of appears to stick his butt out. So that, and then he throws a flag on him. So that's not my oofda. My oofda is, right, so like either way you string it, right, like the Bears guy could have maybe avoided the ref a little bit more. The ref maybe could have moved out of the way. But it's probably just an honest mistake on the Bears. Like in everyday life, right, you don't freak out at somebody if they bump into you a little bit, right? You're just like, oh, I'm so sorry. Why didn't the ref do that, right? Throwing the flag is equal to yelling at somebody in public to me, right? It's like it was a slight bump. It wasn't on purpose by the Bears guy, obviously. So why is he throwing a flag on that? Why doesn't he just give him a good, nice Midwestern, oh, so sorry about that, you know? Like, why is he throwing the flag? So my oofda is not that he stuck his butt out. It's that he threw the flag.
Yeah, I always thought refs were a part of the game field, or I thought refs were a part of play, so you could full blown truck them, run over them. Like I know, like in the NBA or basketball too, if the ball hits a ref, it's like hitting any part of the court. It's the same deal. So,
Yeah, I think it was because it was after the play. But again, there's got to be a little bit of intentionality after that, right? Like, we've all seen the clip of, I forget who it was, fist pumping like in an NBA game after Duncan accidentally punching the ref in the face, right? Like, obviously that's not a malicious act, but he just clocked the ref in the face and he didn't get a foul. So I feel like this should not have been a flag. And it leads me to think that the NFL is actually rigged.
Yeah, I know it is one of those things where it's like, it does seem like it shouldn't have been a flag for sure. It also just seems like sometimes you think they overreact in certain circumstances and they underreact in others. And this seemed like a big time overreaction. And that whole game, especially because there was a rough in the passer too, I believe that was kind of late. That was also kind of ridiculous too. So this did seem a little bit one of those moments where it seemed very NBA like, where you're like, oh, they just want the Steelers to win. Right? That's how it kind of came across.
Yeah, for sure. All right, give me your oofta.
All right, my oofta is I want to talk a little bit more about the Patriots. I wrote this oofta before we started talking about them, so we can kind of skip over this if you'd like. Nope. My oofta was the rest of the NFL or the internet, because when Bill Belichick came, I don't know if you saw his fit when he walked into the stadium with the one with the. He had the one sweatpant down with the other one up, looked disheveled, looked like he just got off of like a red eye from Las Vegas. I just want to, I think underestimating Bill Belichick would be my oofta, or the whole AFC East. I think people got a little happy on the Bills. I'll go quick. So we just talked about this, but I just think the Patriots are finding the groove. And I think looking at a picture of Bill Belichick and thinking he looks a little off or unprepared, I think that's a mistake. And it's a mistake by everyone involved here, and that the Patriots are back. That's my oofta. Also, I will say this, another oofta. I'm going to two Boston ooftas. Again, you alluded to earlier, thinking that we should trade Jaylen Brown for Ben Simmons. That's another oofta.
Yeah. All right. I'll touch on the first one first, right? So please. I think that Cam Newton just really stunk last year. And people were like, Bill Belichick had nothing to do with the Super Bowls. It was all Brady, right? Now we're getting a little bit back towards the, okay, maybe Belichick is a really good coach, and you have to have a really good coach to win 6 Super Bowls. But I'm pulling for the Pats, man. I don't know. The Bills lost to the Jags. And remember, everybody, I called it that the Bills were going to have a regression. And I would say losing to the Jags is a regression so far. So you're welcome.
We're starting to see it. We're starting to see it.
Yes, and yeah, I think trading a all-star for a crabby guy who can't shoot three-pointers is also an oofta for anybody who thinks that we should do that. So you're 2 for 2 on ooftas today, and you just one-upped.
Yeah, you know what? I didn't want to make you feel bad. I thought yours was really good, so I apologize for that. But I wanted the Boston fans out there to feel like they finally had a voice in the sports field. I just wanted them to feel like they were represented. So thank you for that. No, but seriously, I swear to God, if we trade Jaylen Brown for Ben Simmons, I'm gonna lose my mind. If I watch some man just bum mid-range shots and then think about the guy that we could have had that was such a well-rounded player, I'm gonna be so upset. So hopefully this doesn't happen for my own mental sanity.
Yeah, that would be tough. That would be very tough for Boston sports in general.
That's all right. I mean, hey, you know what? Long-suffering franchise. All right. Anyways, moving on. To speaking from experience, to talk about another city. It's not as good as Boston, but it's a pretty good one. New York City. Schultz, why don't you give us a little bit of advice about the Big Apple?
Okay, so I visited New York this weekend. Saw a couple of my buddies who I haven't seen in a long time. Shout out to all those boys because it was an absolute riot. But goodness gracious, great balls of fire. New York is built different. It's busy all the time. People are out until 6 in the morning. It's I didn't gauge the size of the city. Like, I was like, oh, Boston's a big city. New York could literally be its own state. Like, it is so big. No building is below 10 stories high. There's taxis zipping around. There's guy yelling at me if I want some street meat. New York is built different. And I will preface this next part with, I have a lot of respect for anybody who can live in New York now, because I am not built for New York. My lifestyle, my inability to stay up past 11:30 p.m. is not built for New York. So goodness gracious, if you live in New York and you like it that way, good for you, but it's not for me.
Just the fact that you said that you like acknowledge that somebody lives a different lifestyle from you and said that's good for you, it means you're not from New York. If you were from New York, you would think one way and you would not understand why anyone thinks differently from you. So shout out to you for being your nice Midwest, humble, hospitable way. And then second off, what kind of street meat did you get? That's what I'm most curious about.
Lamb over rice, classic street meat, classic street. I was also looking into, gosh, they really get you with this one. They have the nut stands, right? Like the candied nuts.
Oh, yeah.
$3 for $5. Yeah. So I dipped into a little bit of candied peanuts because they get you with the smell, man. You're walking on the garbage covered sidewalk and it's like, oh, is that candied peanuts I smell?
Yeah. Yeah, so no, they suck you right in. And those things are deadly too. It's like all of a sudden you're like, I'm just gonna have a couple from this bag. I'll save them for later, and the whole bag's gone. So I'm right there with you. The funny thing about New York too is that I don't understand. There are so many different bars. Like I feel like every city, every town has a pretty good amount of bars in their immediate geography. But there's something about New York City where it's just endless. It's just there's a bar within a bar within another bar. You know, there's a Shake Shack with a bar on top. There's a there's a bar behind a sneaker shop. It's like and also when you go inside these places, it is so funny because they ask for your vaccine card and then right when you walk in, it's shoulder to shoulder, you can't even breathe. And and God forbid you try to get an Uber late night either. It is a different way of living. But boy, when you're there for a weekend, it is fun to get that nice little hit and then immediately go home to the nice comfort of Minnesota or Cambridge, Mass.
Yeah. Like I have so much more respect for my buddies now that they like. And the thing that got me too is they're just throwing out street corners. They're like, yeah, it's on the corner 146th and 32nd. And I'm like, wait, that has no meaning to me. I don't know where I am. I don't know what's going on, but they just throw it at each other. Like it's like, it doesn't even matter. Like they just know where they are. It's absurd.
Yeah, when you see two New Yorkers sort of like quadratic equations at each other to figure out where they live and they both like acknowledge that they know exactly where they're at. Like, oh, I'm on East on 37th on Chelsea. You're like, oh, okay, I know where you are. And I'm like, I have no idea what you're saying. We hung out with the same friend who's a great time, but I was in this one location with him. I think Lower East Side, I'm not even sure. And I looked at him right in the eye and I was like, if you left me by myself, I'm pretty sure I would die. Cause I don't know where I am right now. I have not a clue. This all looks the exact same to me.
There's just also so many names for like neighborhoods within the city. There's like Upper East Side, West Village, Soho, and that's all New York. I thought it was different cities. Like it is just a different world. Goodness gracious. New York is
you and
nuts.
I would end up on like the tip of Montauk, not knowing how we got there, or the tip of Long Island, not knowing how we got there.
If you dropped me off in a random place in New York, I honestly don't think I would make it out. I don't think I could make it.
Not at all. Not at all. That's a great speaking from experience. If you're going to New York City, it's built different.
Buckle up, baby.
Buckle up. I kind of have a twofer. One of them we talked about a little bit last week. I wanted to go a little bit more on, but my first one was we can do it quick just because you're talking about New York. I would say nothing good happens after 2 a.m. I think that's kind of a good lesson most people should take. What I mean by that, you can get like a little street meat maybe after 2 a.m. or maybe a little for you, maybe a little Bovis pastry. But I would I would say after 2 a.m., honestly, any of your decision making is going to be impaired. You're better off going home. I think if you're going to make any right decision, it's definitely before 2 a.m. So that's my first half of the thing. What are your thoughts there?
Couldn't agree more. And there's a lot of people who I'm going to school with who are night owls and they kind of study up until like 3 or 4 a.m. And I don't understand how they do it because I am far on the train of study until 10 and then go to sleep. Right. So I don't think anything good happens after 2 a.m. for me.
Yeah, that's a good lesson. Even in on a regular weekday where you're completely sober, I don't think anything happens good in the late hours. So get your sleep, kids. Get your sleep, and then also don't make reckless decisions with the opposite sex late at night. Okay. The other part I was going to mention was we talked about last week a little bit in our GOAT rankings about the people that we hate at parties. I would also say I think a good speaking from experience is never show up anywhere empty-handed. And what I mean by that is that even if it doesn't have to be alcohol related at all. It doesn't have to be at all. It could be food, a bag of chips, maybe a nice, especially for those out there going to their significant other's family's homes, maybe bring some flowers or figure out what the parents really like. Always show up with something, because not only does it make you look good, but it makes you feel like you're contributing something to the pot. I just think if you're going over anyone's home or anyone's place, you should always show up with something in hand.
That is the easiest way to get on somebody's parents' good side too. You could show up with like a stick from the ground and be like, "Hey, I brought this thinking about you." And like a mom or a dad of one of your buddies is like, "That's so thoughtful. That was such a thoughtful gesture for you." So that is an excellent idea. No matter where you're going, always show up with something.
100%. You can't beat it. That's the right way to be. And that's all right. So, hey, here's our two takeaways. If you go to New York, be prepared and ring the doorbell with your elbows.
Always ring the doorbell. I love that saying. Such a good
saying. The best one.
Ring with the elbows, baby. All right.
There it is.
That does it for this episode of Out of Our League. All right, everybody, follow us on social media. And until next time, Benny.
Good seeing you, brother.